It's 5:32. Bruce Rosenbloom here with you on this glorious, glorious Thursday afternoon. The sun is shining, the birds are chirping, and we are watching this from inside the studio. I'm here with a very special guest, Mr. Scott Washington, the de facto Hillsborough historian, gracing us with his presence. Scott, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm just doing terrific, Bruce, and, you know, I so appreciate you pinch hitting for Aaron today and this week, and it seems so appropriate because as we get into this week of History Matters, where we talk about the things that happened during this week that are of universal interest and also Carolina interest, there are things like, and when I said pitch inning, well, guess what? June 26th marked the birthday of Abner Doubleday, born in 1819, who is credited with inventing baseball.
Is that right? It's funny. You don't think about this, but somebody did invent baseball.
Well, that's right. Now he apparently never claimed that was the case, but he's the one who also aimed the cannon that fired the first shot at the Confederacy after it was fired on Fort Sumter at the start of the American Civil War.
What a fascinating life.
And he also patented the cable car railway that runs in San Francisco, so why not baseball?
Lord, this guy's like, he's like Thomas Edison. He's doing everything.
Exactly. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Yeah. Also, the 26th marks the day of Babe Didrikson Zahiris, who was born in 1911 on that day, considered America's greatest female athlete. In the 1932 Olympics, she won gold for the javelin and the hurdle, silver for the high jump, and as a golfer, won the British Women's Amateur and the U.S. Open three times.
Very impressive.
Now, you know, I was thinking about this week, because as we talk about History Matters, it's also about things that happen, even in the news. And John McEnroe made a comment about Vanessa Williams.
Oh, yes. I read about that
she
yesterday.
Was a great athlete for a woman.
Sure.
And, oh, my gosh. So, you know, I'm sure that that Babe Zahiris also encountered some of the same things, but I think we need to establish a standard that says an athlete is a great athlete, whatever the gender.
Sure.
That would be a good thing. So, anyway, so that happens on the 26th, and it's just great to see all the things that we take for granted. For instance, 1848 on June 26th is when the first U.S. pure food and drug legislation was enacted, to prevent the importing of adulterated drugs and medicines. Now, you hear always about, oh, we're anti-regulations, but isn't it nice to go into a supermarket and know that the food that you're getting there has passed some type of safety regulation, so you don't have to say, gee, let's see, you taste it first, like the ancient monarchs you had to do is have a food taster.
That's right. That's how you know you're living in a first world country, where you know your drugs are safe and there's some oversight. There's a level of oversight there.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, and here's another birthday. I just find it fascinating. 1909, Colonel Tom Parker, born on that date, June 26th. Of course, he's the guy who manages Elvis. Now, what I never knew was that Elvis never toured Europe because Colonel Tom Parker was from Holland and he was not a U.S. citizen, couldn't get a visa, and was afraid if he left the States, he would not be allowed back in.
Is that right?
Yes, isn't that fascinating?
So his manager was keeping Elvis, yes. was holding Elvis back.
That's right.
Exactly. Wow.
Now, I had never heard that before, and I was like, wow, astonished. Now, the next time you go into a supermarket and you think history doesn't matter, and you're at the self-checkout line and scanning things, it does matter because on June 26, 1974, there was a scanner used in a supermarket in Troy, Ohio, scanning a pack of chewing gum, and it was the first product to be checked out with the Universal Product Code. You know those little bars
yes.
on everything? And that was actually credited to research Triangle Park scientist George Laurer.
That's a great bit of trivia right there. That's bar trivia right there.
It is, exactly. Yes. It's like, whoa. So next time you do it, you say, hey, this has a Carolina connection, which I love finding out about. So that's on the 26th. There's another thing that happens on the 26th. It's also Rat Catcher's Day, which is celebrating the myth of the Pied Piper of Hamelin. Remember, that's the guy who says, hey, I'll take care of your rat problem, and they don't pay up, and then he takes pipes and all the kids leave. So there's a moral there about making sure if you establish, yeah, I'm going to pay you, you better do that, that kind of thing.
That's the rules
of
business.
Those things happen on the 26th, which is kind of cool. There's something that happens on the 27th that I really find interesting. It's, and you maybe recall this, back in 1990, the billion-dollar Hubble telescope goes into orbit. And then they look at the pictures, and everybody kind of squints their eyes and realize it's out of focus. And so they have to basically send up a troubleshooting team. I like to call it troubleshooting day because that's a fascinating moment. And they went back, and here's the fascinating thing, Bruce. They found that at one small, tiny element of this huge project that British researchers and American researchers use different measurements, metric and American, and that's why it was out of focus.
Nice. How about that? I'm reminded of Murphy's Law. You know, anything that can go wrong will go wrong.
That's right.
So,
Carolina Connection, we know, of course, the Duke family who made their fortune first in tobacco and then later in energy. But in tobacco, what people used to do is employ immigrants to hand roll cigarettes. And somebody made a machine to do it by machine. And there were a lot of other companies that tried it. It kept breaking down. They said, forget it. Now, the Dukes did something different. They not only got the machine, but they hired the mechanic that knew how to fix it. That's why I say this is like troubleshooting day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is a great thing. Also, on the 27th, it's the birthday of someone that we should all know the name of, but don't. 1859, Mildred J. Hill. Now, if that doesn't jump out at you, you might start singing Happy Birthday to Mildred. She's the one who came up with that tune.
Miss Hill.
Miss Hill. It was actually called Good Morning to All, and the lyrics were written by her sister, were changed in 1924 to the new familiar words, the now familiar words, becoming the most sung tune in the world. But it was under copyright for so long.
I was about to ask about that, the copyright claims.
Exactly. That's right. You go into some restaurants and they say, happy birthday. You're going, what are they doing? It's because of that.
That's why.
Yes, that's exactly why. It is now, I think, passed into the public domain, but
thank
not
God.
For a long time, which is kind of cool. Bob Keeshan, the fellow who, the actor who became Captain Kangaroo, had a great quote. If you want more time in your life, don't watch TV. And I think we'd all say, listen to radio more, WCHL.
I like the sound of that. That's a great advice right there. I hope everybody out there follows that. Big fan of that.
Also, the 27th, on a more serious note, it's National PTSD Awareness Day, and post-traumatic stress disorder. Of course, that affects so many of the veterans who have come back from our decade-long wars. But also a lot of other people have gone through traumatic experiences, and it was designated that day by the United States Senate following a Army Staff Sergeant who Joe Beal of the North Dakota National Guard, who suffered from that and took his own life. So it's something we need to be aware of. And certainly be aware of the people in our community.
Absolutely.
Also, that day is when it's Helen Keller's day in honor of her birthday, June 27th, 1880, who, of course, was deaf and blind. And we all have probably seen the movie with Ann Sullivan and Helen Keller, How She Learns to Communicate, showing that communication is possible all different ways, including this modern marvel of radio.
That's right, classic story.
That's a great thing. Looking ahead, of course, it's nice to know, you know, we think of Grover and we think of Sesame Street, but there's another Grover Cleveland, and we can all say thank you to him because in 1894, Labor Day was declared a federal holiday signed into law by President Grover Cleveland.
Isn't that
a cool thing to remember?
So Grover Cleveland, responsible for Labor Day.
All 1938, Wednesday, I mean, June 28, 1938, is when the national minimum wage was enacted. Which is kind of an important kind of milestone as well.
Certainly is.
Also, June 28 is when it's called National Paul Bunyan Day. And in Hillsboro, there is a giant statue. It looks like Paul Bunyan, but it's dedicated actually to supposedly to Daniel Boone. But you look at some of those and go, I don't know, that's pretty close. That's an interesting reinterpretation of that. Moving forward on June 29th, is when, a fascinating thing, 1833 is the first patent for a revolver is issued to David Colburn of New York, but the first revolver had been built apparently by John Gill of North Carolina in 1829.
So there's an Incy connection
there. That is. I'm not sure that's a good one, but it is certainly a historical one, and that's kind of an important thing as well. Also, now here's a cool one. Have you ever seen the movie Field of Dreams? 1929, June 29, 1905, is when Cumberland County native Moonlight Graham played in his first and only Major League Baseball game. And he played, I think it was just two innings as a right fielder. Ball was never hit in his direction. And he was on deck to bat when the game ended. And he returned shortly for a minor league game in 1905. But he's the one who's played by Burt Lancaster in the film Becomes a Doctor.
That's right.
So it shows you that there are many different ways that you can contribute. But isn't that a great story?
Yes,
that's
it
another
is.
Baseball theme.
This sure,
is the interesting
sure.
thing that comes up in these weeks in history is that we see these reoccurring themes that pop up.
Very cyclical, yes.
Yes. National Camera Day is also observed on June 29th. You know, and honestly, I could not find any historical reason why.
National Camera Day.
Yes. But, you know, you think of cameras and how they've changed from film cameras to digital cameras and finally ones in our phones that we keep flat in our pockets. And, you know, that's astonishing. But even the digital cameras that look like cameras, well, they don't have to look like that. That was space for the canisters of film.
That's right.
But then after they changed, they just kept using that same shape because it was convenient.
Very interesting.
Yes.
Very interesting.
More than you probably wanted to know, but this is the fun thing about history.
Absolutely.
Is you find the serious and the profound. When we come up to June 30th, it was Yul Brynner's 4,625th and last Broadway performance as the King of Siam and the King and I. And just recently over at DPAC in Durham, Durham Performing Arts Center, they hosted an award-winning production, The King and I.
It certainly did.
Touring here. And so, you know, it's nice to know that this has carried on, but, you know, can you imagine doing that? It's like, long time. That's years of performing that role.
A lot of shows. But he was great at it. He was so good at it.
Well, you know, and the June 30th is also significant for another reason. 1971 is when the 26th Amendment to the Constitution was ratified, lowering the voting age to 18. Now, you know, sometimes when we think of the Constitution, we think of it, that's something that happened way back then. It's still going on. People ask me, because of what happened in Hillsborough with the Constitution, what's the thing that I think is the most important about that first part? I said it's that fifth article, which is about amending the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And North Carolina played a significant role. One of the cool things that's happening here locally is the Durham Public Library every couple of years does a Durham Reads program. And in October, they're doing Durham Reads the Constitution.
Ah.
And that means the whole enchilada, not just what was passed in 1787 and ratified after that by the states, but all these amendments, too. It's going to be very exciting. It's something local, and I hope that all of the listeners will take a moment to say, wow, this is worth reading. It's the owner's manual that we all share.
That's great, because most people, they can read the first five, but after that, it gets a little fuzzy, you know, for everybody, myself included. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That gets a little dense. But I'll tell you, read those amendments, and it is just amazing. And, of course, Hillsborough played such a significant role because they were North Carolina was the only state at that convention in 1788 to actually vote to postpone ratifying the Constitution until provisions were made for introducing a Bill of Rights to Congress and the ratifying states. It becomes the tipping point for why Congress takes up this issue and why we have those first 10 amendments. So that's great history.
So we held things up a bit. That is an interesting fact right there. Yeah,
it really is. So it's great to hear that. So many people were saying, we're going to read the Constitution. Yes, it's worth reading. These amendments are crucial. And just like knowing that the 26th Amendment was ratified in 1971. Lowering that voting age to 18 means that anyone who's 18 and older can vote and can make a difference because every vote counts.
Sure.
Which is great. So those are some things that are going on. Zip code went into effect 1963 on July 1st.
Ooh.
Can you believe it? It wasn't until then. You could put it to Bruce Rosenblum, Chapel Hill, and, you know, it would fly.
It's amazing.
They would be able to deliver it.
Sure.
So, which is kind of amazing to think it took that long. The first zoo opens in 1874 on July 1st. In Philadelphia, which I'm like, well, what were they doing before then?
That's what I'm thinking of,
traveling circuses or something like that. First postage stamps go on sale in 1847 on July 1st, which may also explain why July 1st is National U.S. Postage Stamp Day and also National Postal Worker Day. And one really cool kind of factoid that I found about this is when the first postal service was going into effect in 1913, the Postal Service started delivering packages up to a maximum of 11 pounds. But they didn't put any conditions on it. The most surprising package to arrive for delivery, one person wrote, was a small child.
No.
Yes.
No. Is that right?
Barely under the weight limit, James Beagle was mailed at a cost of 15 cents to his grandmother just a few miles away.
Parents of the Year. Parents of the Year war right there.
The practice continued for just over a year, this commentator wrote, until the Postmaster General was able to put regulations in place prohibiting it. Did they poke holes in the box like you do with hamsters?
I'm thinking how they manage that. But, I'm thinking, there are more than a few parents out there who probably thought
Beagle
of that.
Beagle inside?
Handle with care.
Handle with care. I mean, that's just wild to think about.
Yeah.
And we've all joked about that. Yeah, gee, I wish I could send myself.
Certainly.
This actually happened. Walmart, July 1st, opens its first giant retail store in Rogers, Arkansas.
Oh, boy.
We all have heard of Kmart and where, Kmarts have disappeared. But you know what Walmart did that changed everything? They actually began to take advantage of computers and updating in real time what sales were so that they could adjust things. Kmart kept doing their inventory every 6 months or a year, and Walmart just kept saying, okay, week by week, we know where things are going. Changes everything.
So Walmart adapted to that technology then more readily.
That's right.
Fascinating.
Technology really, this is what history is as much a story of, is not just battles, but it's also technology and business and creativity and in all kind of ways, which is, I think, just really fascinating.
It is fascinating stuff.
Amelia Earhart, 1937, July 1st, is when her plane disappears.
That's right.
Which is still a great mystery and still being investigated, and just shows you that there are things that we don't always know, and life is bigger than we think.
There are some mysteries out there. No,
there are some mysteries out there. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Well, July 2nd, let's say we got to jump ahead to that because we're coming into a big week.
Oh, yes.
July 7th, 2nd, 1776 is when the Continental Congress votes to adopt a resolution of independence. And, North Carolina plays a significant role in this. Back in February 1776, there are patriots from Wilmington defeat Scottish Highlanders down at the coast. And 2 months after that is when delegates meeting in Halifax adopt what are called the Halifax Resolutions, and which basically instruct these delegates to this fledgling Continental Congress, lobby the other states, it's time for independence. 2 months after that, we have the Declaration of Independence. William Hooper is credited being one of the great orators. His grave is in Hillsborough. You can visit an actual signer of the Declaration of Independence. I urge you to visit a great town that has great history, Hillsborough, anytime.
Yes, indeed. We will certainly take you up on that offer.
Good. Well, I don't know if you want to. Are we still doing it? I'm plowing right ahead. There's a lot here. Are we still doing okay on time?
We're doing great. Let's talk about a few more things. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Well, let's go back, on a more serious note, too, the 26th is the International Day Against Drug Abuse and Illicit Traffic. It's United Nations International Day. And with the opiate epidemic, it's just a note to say, hey, this is still important things to be thinking about. Also, that day, the 26th of June, is a United Nations Day in support of victims of torture. And in a world where we have so many refugees, many of them fleeing from war-torn countries and places of indescribable terror, we need to remember that the Statue of Liberty that stands at the Port of New York welcoming folks. These are not just people that are fleeing economic situations of misery, but real areas where they have faced torture and murder and terrible, terrible things. So you need to keep that in mind as well.
POWs come to mind, too.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Oh, my gosh, yes. That's an excellent, excellent point. And that would certainly go along with recognizing the PTSD
That's right.
Situation and to be compassionate and caring about the people who come back and realizing that people have faced terrible things more than anybody knows, and we need to be aware of that as well. First practical helicopter flight capable of full takeoff speed, forward motion control, 1935.
it's still incredible to see them take off. You know, you think,
isn't
like,
it,
you know, how does it work?
How did that thing fly? That's right.
But it, you know, it works.
Where are the cables? Yeah, it's like that, or the ones with the hovercraft. You know, those are pretty cool too, and they lift on air. And I've ridden on those. It's just amazing. You know, are we flying? In fact, did you see? The U.S. Cup, the sailing thing that was on TV. This was the America's Cup. The United States, New Zealand are in the finals. And I swear, if you look at these boats, you'll have to see this. And anybody who's listening, pull it up online. Mm-hmm. These boats, their hulls, there were catamarans, two-hulled boats. They're not in the water. They have these, like... I forget the technical term, but like rudders that go down.
Yes.
But the boats are floating.
That's right.
Above.
That's right.
It's like, how is this sailing? So some aficionados are getting alarmed saying, we want the hulls in the water.
Got to take it up with the engineers.
That's right. You know? Exactly. I don't think we're going to have a change. It's very exciting to watch, but wow, that's a different kind of technology.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that, you know, people who were old sailors would be looking at this going, yeah, that's not the way that I used to be.
Just a bit.
Oh, I liked it a little slower when I was learning how to sail.
Mm-hmm.
That is a different kind of sailing. It's very exciting.
That's
but
cool.
I don't know quite how they must have read the rules and said, well, it doesn't show that the hulls have to be in the water. A little kind of a different kind of way of looking at sailing. The first erasable pink ink pen, the Eraser Mate, was patented in 1978 on the 27th. Also, 1979 is pretty important. That's when the U.S. Supreme Court rules that private businesses can give special preferences to minorities and women in hiring. What we know now is affirmative action to try to balance the playing field, which is, you know, I think that's made our nation better, and we've had some vigorous debate, but I think it's been a good thing for us overall. Also, on June 27th, 1760, is when Cherokee warriors attacked British forces in near Franklin and Macon County, and this began this kind of a tension. The French and Indian War, the Cherokee were allied first with the British against the French, and then they didn't like what the British were doing, so they began to war with the British. One interesting Carolina connection is that English colonial governor William Tryon would later negotiate with the Cherokees, who called him the Gray Wolf. I think they understood who they were dealing with. Is a guy who was a little more ruthless, very an excellent administrator, but also pretty ruthless.
That's quite a nickname to get, the Gray Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
I would say you're a big deal if you get that.
Exactly. Yeah. People probably later on when the regulators come along, we've talked about them many times, I think they probably would understand exactly what they were responding to. And that's why North Carolina, very much in the forefront of the American Revolution when they get engaged, because they know the English are coming back with a vengeance. And it will not be a pretty sight, and that's why they're such a strong force during the Revolutionary War.
Yes, indeed.
Especially at the end of it. Oh, it's so exciting. That's a great thing. So, anyway, these are some of the things that have happened this week. Do we have any more time? Are we still going on? Or
we could talk. We got CBS News coming for you here in about 5 minutes. We can talk a little bit longer.
Well, I'm just getting to talk so much. I'm just joyous. So you jump in any time. Here's one. Now, this is a death that happens on June 28th. Mm. James Madison. Now, he's, of course, the guy who introduces the Bill of Rights to Congress, because when North Carolina takes its unusual stance, only one of the 13 states to actually postpone ratifying the Constitution, it provokes a certain crisis, because all the other states, with the exception of Rhode Island, North Carolina, have ratified it. Rhode Island takes until 1790, but they're small, pesky. It's not as serious. But North Carolina is the fourth largest state in population.
Sure, big column.
Stretches from the Atlantic to the Mississippi.
Oh,
it's huge, big deals, would divide the country. So when they postponed it, then the nation's leader said, we have got to address this. James Madison addresses Congress about this urgent need, and even suggests one reason for having amendments is because it might help bring in the other two states, meaning North Carolina and Rhode Island. Well, On June 28th, 1836, is when James Madison, who's also the fourth president of the United States from 1809 to 1817, and credited with being the author of the Bill of Rights, or at least introducing them, well, that's when he dies. And he was also, now this is an interesting fun fact that you could always, you know, bring up. He was also the shortest of the United States presidents.
Is that right?
Yes. Now, believe this. He was 5'4" tall. You know, isn't that something? That's like, wow. His portrait graces the $5,000 U.S. bill.
Right, that's right there underneath Tom Cruise.
Yeah, that's right.
That's interesting.
That's right. You know, and I thought, yeah, I'll have to look at my next $5,000 bill to see his portrait there.
Whip that out of your wallet there. You know, take a look.
That's right.
We've all got,
you know,
we've all got there.
These founding fathers and mothers look and say, gee, which bill do you want to be on? And say, you know, sit down at a poker game, I'll be on the 5,000.
Well, you know, speaking of size, you know, it's amazing how people have gotten so much bigger over the years. Like, I was at there's a World War I exhibit at the North Carolina Museum of History.
Right.
It's a fantastic exhibit. Actually, I worked on that a bit down there.
Really?
So if you go down there,
yeah,
you will see me down there if you go down there. But you see these coats, and they're so small. It looks like a kid could wear them nowadays.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's amazing, you know, how people just were tinier back then, but now we've gotten bigger and more robust.
Well, you know, that's true. In World War II, they'll sometimes bring in some of the vintage aircraft. And I remember years ago coming into RDU a B-17, and I told my kids, well, let's go on board. And my gosh, it was so small. I was like, what the heck? And they must have, like, said, what's your weight? Because that's going to make a difference.
That's right. That's
right. Which is kind of incredible to think about.
They definitely selected the smaller guys for that stuff, too, just by nature of the equipment stuff. And then you think of the ball gunners. Ooh, talk about being cramped. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was, and you realize there is not much protection there.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
These guys were incredibly brave. And I think we need to remember them too, all of our veterans coming back, even before we had this term PTSD, that it takes a while to adjust after being in war, in combat. And that's true whatever, whether it's from revolutionary times up to the present.
Yes, indeed.
Some of the things that that help, I think, include the things that we like to think of, like, it's nice to know Richard Rogers was born on June 28th, 1902. He's the guy who comes up with Sound of Music, Oklahoma.
The Sound of Music.
Yes, the Sound of Music.
Oh, it's classic right there.
That's right, exactly. So we landed on a high note, from baseball to the Sound of Music and everything in between.
It's a great place to end it right there. I'm a big fan of Sound of Music. Scott, thank you so much for coming into the show today and talking.
Thank you, Bruce. You did great. History always matters.
Indeed it does. It's great to hear about the lessons and stuff. A lot we can take home about this. Looking forward to hearing it from you next week.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, time is 5:59 here at WCHL. Got CBS News coming up for you here in a second. Make sure you stay tuned.